Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We are going to go to Love Park. Of all the things to be called here is Love Park, and we're just finished talking about the love the Christians have and are known for in Iraq, as we saw Iraqi television. If you missed it, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and watch it. And don't forget, if you missed the program on Christian Television Network, you can actually see the program at VFNTV.com. Also, you can find out more details about those programs and this program on the Torch. But the in Love Park, there was this park ranger that was having to speak to some skateboarders. And again, we don't want to categorize all skateboarders, but we need to stand in defense of the actual officer here, not the skateboarders.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the skateboarders will live on.
Right.
You know. But the
skate for another day.
You can skate for another day. But you need to see this, and I want to share about an incident that I had when I was in law enforcement. We have to start empathizing with each other. We got to start feeling what's going on. Now, this is Love Park, and I want you to see this report and hear it or see it, depending if you're watching or listening, and we'll be back.
Yeah, Keith, police say that the ranger asked the young men to leave here because even though Love Park is a popular place for skateboarders, skateboarding isn't allowed here. Moments later, he was attacked. It's cell phone video that shows a skateboarder violently attacking a park ranger in Love Park. Police are now investigating after a witness posted the video on the internet. We talked to the man who made the video over Skype.
I mean, it was just brutal. You know, it's just disgraceful because you have a man here who's trying to do his job.
Mariano Verrico tells us he was visiting family in Philadelphia for the day and went to Love Park when he saw the skateboarder start a verbal argument with the ranger. He says he pulled out a cell phone and started recording.
It seemed like he just was in the mood to fight and nobody was going to stop it.
It all happened just before 6 Friday evening. Police say that's when the Philadelphia Parks ranger approached a group of skateboarders and told them that skateboarding is not permitted in Love Park. The video begins with the ranger putting his hands in a defensive pose and trying to calm the skateboarders down. But instead, one of the young men punched the ranger before wrestling him to the ground. The man is seen kicking him repeatedly before stomping on his head and spitting on him, all while the other skateboarder stood by watching. One of them videotaped the beating while a third taunted and laughed at the ranger.
I think that's really sad.
When we showed the video to folks visiting the popular tourist area, they were stunned. And so were the skateboarders who fear people will now judge them, all based on this video.
I feel like that 100% that they're going to think that we all act like that, which is not true.
Now, the ranger suffered injuries to his head, but he is expected to be okay. And tonight, police say they are still looking for those three skateboarders. We're live in Center City for TD Jacquez, NBC 10 News.
I know this is going to shock you, but law enforcement are not disposable tissues. I mean, the interesting viewpoint of that article, and we want to talk about the Love Park and love, is the angle was, please don't think bad about skateboarders. You know, we're not all like that. And I'm sure you're not. But did you ever cross your mind to think about the officer who was on the ground, who was being videoed and stomped on?
Laughed at, spit upon.
His reputation? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Nobody even thought about that. We're thinking more of the reputation of skateboarders, people that roll around on a sport, you know, and surf on concrete, I guess. And we didn't even think about, you know, this officer in the context of that. And I know that's just, you know, because we've been so blessed as a nation that you can assume that law enforcement is like tissues. They'll just keep coming. You pull one out, fire one, abuse one. You know, and all of a sudden they'll just keep coming like Kleenexes. Mm-hmm. But that's a choice. Every officer decides whether they're going to work today. She or he decides, is the risk worth the reward? Today, am I going to step up and defend? This is what officers are supposed to do, is defend the constitutional rights of us and to make sure that they're upheld and to enforce the laws of the land. And so that's what they're called to do. And so if, in fact, that they do that and then we don't stand up for them, the natural consequence, I mean, think of it. You would do, I mean, just change your line of work when you're thinking about this. You're at McDonald's. They told you put the hamburger in the styrofoam. Yeah, I'm trying to be kind here. In the styrofoam box, and you'll get paid. And so you put the hamburger in the styrofoam box, and they get onto you for that. They get onto you for you. Like, you told me to do that. Mm-hmm. And they do this continually. Then they put TV cameras in your face. Then they actually watch you get stomped down because you put the hamburger in the styrofoam box. And then people are shocked that you don't work at McDonald's anymore.
Right.
They act. They can walk. One of the big issues in Iraq after our soldiers did such a intense job of giving freedom, as some of the Iraqis are saying today, says, listen, you know, y'all have done all this. Don't leave us high and dry now. Was trying to come up with the people to be law enforcement officers. Until there was people that would patrol the streets of Iraq, it would not be peaceful. You have to have officers that, when you lay in bed at night, you know they're going to deal with lawbreakers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is Love Park in Pennsylvania. Why everybody's, you know, we're not going to talk too many details about too many things right now, but we have something to say, but we're waiting. But there, as a Christian viewpoint, there's a Christian viewpoint of how we as Christians need to have a testimony. There needs to be a testimony about us. We don't give our own testimony. But the people of America should give a testimony about us the way the Iraqi people gave a testimony, just you just saw on television, in Iraqi television, about the Christians there. Understand, if we have the right fruit, if we respond the right way, then people will stand up and say, wait a minute, that person hasn't done, all they've ever done was do you good. All they ever done was to you know, the type of thing. Mm-hmm. But we just can't just allow our officers, and this is another viewpoint, it's going to shock you, that officer is somebody's son. That officer potentially is somebody's father and brother and sister. I know this is really going to shock you. He's a human being.
Yes.
You know, he's a human being. You know, we shouldn't treat anybody like that. And it's like they're getting caught between places that we should not put them in regards to, okay, if you do your job, we're gonna persecute you and arrest you, right, or say that you're guilty and accuse you of all kinds of things. Or if you don't do your job, we're not gonna support you and watch you get beat up on Love Park and kicked in your head. And it's like, I don't know if you know, I mean, if those that are as old as Pat, you understand that if somebody puts their foot upside your head that way, I mean, you've got all kinds of neck issues probably for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah.
And our thoughts and prayers go out to this officer, but we have to start recognizing this. There is a intense demonic mindset that all of a sudden the quality of human life is not valuable anymore. That the babies are not babies anymore, and that you know, you can take their life out at any point in the womb. But just like the guy said on the program today, he said, well, how could you be charged for murder if a baby dies in the womb of a woman, for double homicide, if abortion is not, you know, illegal? And it's like this confusion. Then we're looking at the elderly, where people were talking about that their lives are not important. And then they're looking at, like, anybody that takes away from me, their life's not important. And Dr. Dobson wrote a book, I believe it's called Fatherhood. Oh, man, it is. It's on the VFN torch. But it talks about, what do you call that when you end somebody's life with an injection at the end of their life? And I can't think of it.
Euthanasia?
Yeah, euthanasia.
Oh.
And that there's no longer any more nursing homes, no more assisted living facilities, no more caring for the elderly. They just sign a waiver and they euthanize them.
Mm.
And as Dr. Dobson wrote this book, and it's a whole story talking about how it came to pass. And it's like, you can see now that life's not valued. You look when nobody's moved, that these women are being raped as we speak in Iraq and in Syria because they were taken from their husbands and their children, who were killed and buried alive and crucified and beheaded. I mean, 7-8-year-old boy holding up a man's head and saying this is going to happen, you know, to others. And threat just came out, according to CBN News. This is the threat going on, saying if America attacks our strongholds in Iraq, this is what ISIS, is reporting in English, then the American blood is going to spill. Mm-hmm. And sad to say, with our border patrols and all the things that have been going on, it's a huge likely probability that something can happen in our country. So what do we need to do? We need to begin to love again. We have to begin to think more about eternity than we are about this life. Mm-hmm. We should believe the gospel that we preach, that to die truly is gain, and to live is Christ. The only reason that we're living at this moment in time is so that we can be a witness of God himself, who sent his son to be a witness of the love of God, that he wants to spend eternity with you. But you can only do that through his son, Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. That's why we're here. We're not, I mean, life's going to be much, much better in eternity with golden streets and mansions and no more sin and the presence and the glory of God with, oh, just, you know. And Paul was talking about, I'm caught between this inner argument. You know, I'd rather be with God right now. I don't, to be absent from the bodies to be with him. I'd rather be with him. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for him. Mm-hmm. And so we think that way. You know, we can take on the mindsets of Jesus Christ. And that's what he told us to do, to imitate him. And so we got to learn to love. It's so, I mean, right now it's so good in America. It is not bad yet. And so if we can't love under these conditions, I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very, very important. It's like, dear Lord, we have to love. And this is, when we get back for the break, we're going to find out the words of Jesus, because this is, I think this is prophetic. Love Park. Love Park, the city of love in Philadelphia, they're kicking at the head of authority. And they're talking about the reputation of skateboarders. I want to, we're going to talk about the words of Jesus, because it's Love Park. We're looking at how the Christian Iraqi's testimony is resounding in the heart of the Iraqi people. And we saw that on Iraqi television, just powerful, powerful thing. But we're also now seeing in America at Love Park, we're seeing an officer attacked and assaulted. And remember, Romans 13, 1 through 5 says, all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it, resist against it, do what these young boys did, are rebelling against what God has established, yeah, his servants. And he's there to do you good, lest you're a wrongdoer, and he doesn't bear the sword for nothing. So when you attack law enforcement, you do that, the consequences could be tragic. And I think about this. You know, I'm coming from, you know, spending time as a law enforcement officer myself. I was undercover one night, and which means I wasn't in uniform, and I was coming down a particular high drug area in the area I was patrolling. And as I was coming up where a lot of drug dealing takes place, I pulled up, and all of a sudden somebody threw something on the hood of my car. And all of a sudden people started surrounding my car, and I looked down in my rearview mirror, and I saw somebody coming up from behind me, and they had what is that big beer bottle called? The big
quart.
I don't know. What do you know? It's like a big beer bottle. It's a huge beer bottle. And I saw him, and he had the beer bottle, and he was going to take it around. And understand, I'm in my car like this, an unmarked car, you know, just an old beat up car, undercover, and my window's down. And so he's standing behind me. I can't see him, and he's going to swing it around. He's going to hit me in my face with this bottle, and they were going to just pounce on me. And I looked at my rearview mirror. The Lord helped me look at my rearview mirror and see this guy. And so what I did as an officer, as a deputy sheriff undercover doing work right there, I was able to take my gun, my 9mm. I took it, and I took it around, and I held it out like this to the guy, and he drops the bottle, and he runs, and everybody runs. And nothing had to happen. You know, it didn't go down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they didn't realize that I was the police, but the reality is a citizen was being assaulted.
Right.
But understand this. If I would have had to pull that trigger, that this man would have fell that way. He would not have fallen in the car. He wouldn't have fell anywhere. He would have fell that way. The bottle that I'm telling you about would have broke on the ground, would have seemed really irrelevant. And I'd be on the news going, well, he was going to hit me in my face with a beer bottle, and my only choice was I had to defend myself. And then you have that big different viewpoints. And so the thing is that, do you believe the officer has integrity and he's telling you the truth? Or do you say every officer is bad? The truth is, if I would have had to shoot him because he has this big bottle about to hit me in my face like this, I mean, he's fixing to swing it in, they're
pouncing on my hood. They're throwing stones and stuff on the hood of the car. And that's why we were doing that. We're trying to stop that from happening to citizens. Mm-hmm. That if I would have had a shot, he would have fell backwards. And if it would have fell backwards, in your own mind, it would be really hard for you to determine. You know, you have to take that officer's word for it. That's what happened because the bottle's broken now. There's probably a lot of broken bottles around there. Mm. And it's like, it's the beginning. It's the first thing that we do is think our officers are lying to us, that they're wrong, that they got up that day and said, you know what, I'm going to do all these terrible things to society. Or is the fact that he or she's been out there for 10 years testifying in their character and what's going on. And so we got to really begin to think about this when you're seeing officers' head kicked in, you know, in Love Park.
I guess it requires us to have a lot of mercy because, unfortunately, in every category, you always have somebody that there's something wrong, and then it gets magnified. So everyone focuses on the one or two people that have done wrong, and then they blanket a whole group of people saying they're all like that.
And that's why, you know, you heard us stand up for the Roy Middleton situation mm-hmm. because everybody's going to put everybody in the category. Mm-hmm. of that whole situation, and that's not how officers are. That's not how they are. That was just two officers that shot 15 times at an unarmed citizen, and that's not how all the officers are at that particular. That's why we stand up because you got to stand up for that. But what as Christians, you know, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us. He says, "Because of lawlessness," this is Matthew 24, 12 and 13. He says, "Because of lawlessness increasing, most people's love will grow cold. But he that endures to the end will be saved," which is a whole other ballgame. And so it's not going to necessarily get better. I mean, this is an officer, you know, telling the skateboarders, it's written right there on the side of Love Park in concrete, says, "Do not skate here." And they were skating there. Mm-hmm. He's telling them he has a defensive pose as he's holding his hands up. And they treat him, it's like, we don't care about the laws. We don't care about the laws. And we're seeing leaders, officials, say, we don't care about the laws.
Yeah.
We're seeing people say, we don't care about what the law says on the border. We don't care what the law says about this or about that. And it's lawlessness. But let me say this. As Christians, that doesn't determine our destiny. It doesn't say all of a sudden we can flip a switch and now we can no longer obey Jesus anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to shine when people start saying, they're doing you wrong, but you're still loving, you're still forgiving. Then they go, this person is a son of God. This person, they said, these are sons of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And that's what you're seeing today. You're seeing people that know each other and they're going like, we're tight. You know, they're doing certain things together. But people they don't even know, they're hating them. He says, "You've heard this." He says, "But I, Jesus, say this." He says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward is that for you to have? Do not even the tax collectors," the pagans, "do this?" Think about this. If you greet only your brothers, in other words, people that you connect to and relate to that's just like you, what more have you really been doing for others? Don't the Gentiles, don't the unbelievers do this? We're not supposed to buy into the whole crowd mentality. And that's what these tactics are. It's going on in America right now, trying to polarize everybody and divide everybody. Christians should be uniquely to themselves in regards to saying, you know, I know that we've been treated unjustly. I know, like Hebrews chapter 11 and 10, when he says, "I see where they took your possessions and took your stuff, and yet you have steadfast and you didn't shrink. You stay steadfast and you didn't shrink back from the faith. I saw where the things that are taking place right now in the world, across the world, for Christians, and you're standing up. I see where you're standing up for Israel when everybody's trying to accuse. Many people are trying to accuse Israel. That's where we're supposed to be different. And right now, there's a big momentum about to hit America. It's huge." I have it sealed up in an envelope, you know, a whole prophecy that, you know, tried to be able to deliver it, but that it wouldn't be delivered, that it's going to be rough. It's going to be really, really rough. But understand this, in the midst of all that, it's going to be really, really awesome for the church because they're going to see that God loves them, that the answer is not a political answer, that the answer is not a race answer, the answer is not a religious answer, the answer is not a job. because all jobs come from God. He's the one that gives us the ability to give increase. So I want to encourage you to begin to rethink all the media and stuff that you saw that fed into your carnal nature, your flesh nature, that wanted to get you hating on folks. Maybe you saw that video, you know, and you saw those skateboarders, and all of a sudden you just had hate in your heart for those skateboarders. Well, realize those young men that were attacking that officer. The big thing we should be thinking about, what did we create as the church before God that we, that God's going, okay, this is going to happen to your nation. Because he says, if my people, he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, when I send the locusts to devour the land, when these things happen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll fix these issues. That's what he said. I'll fix it. And so we got to ask ourselves, what have we done before our Lord that allows this lawlessness to just happen and it be winked at? What's in these young man's mind? And I would tell you, I tell you, you know, I don't know these young men and I can't speak on their behalf, but I know it's got to be hopelessness. It's got, they got to think that, that all authority is their problem. And the truth is, their issue is with God. But who's telling them that? Who's telling them that God loves them and that God's got a plan for their life? And you can't do this and it's not going to end well for you. And though you think men's appointed this authority, truly it's God that's established this authority. And you're not rebelling against this officer, this Love Park Ranger officer. You're rebelling against God. And when they understand that, God will work with you, confirming that word, and he'll touch that young man. And even though he's ahead of a gang, for example, he will go to bed at night and he'll think about those words and he'll ponder those words. And he'll cry, tears coming down his eyes, and he'll go, what is it all about? And there's a high chance. There's a high chance that his heart is soft enough. And if not, he can go to sleep and God will speak to him in his dreams. But God will tell him, listen, the route that you're choosing is destruction. But if you come after me with all of your heart, if you repent of your ways, if you make me the Lord of your life, I'll take you like Nikki Cruz. I'll turn this whole thing around and use you to bring hope to a people. No longer will you be hopeless, but you'll be a deliverer of hope and you'll be a helper of Rangers and Park Rangers. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.